Today's reading is taken from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." And so ends the reading.
I now invite you to rise as you are able in body or in spirit for the reading of a gospel. So we listen together again to this story, which is almost as old as the hills and yet as new as this very moment. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I sort of thought last Christmas, next Christmas, surely we will not be dealing with COVID. I kind of had that thought. And I'm sure that I speak for all of us when I say, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. I want to explain to God that, to me, Christmas should just be like, Christmas comes and everything is instantly better, forever and ever. I want to say to God that the world still seems to be in desperate need. And another COVID Christmas, and thank the Lord for vaccines and boosters, don't get me wrong. But another COVID Christmas just feels like more than this pastor can stand. And if I can't stand it, I know you probably really are over it. You know, in our best years, the ones without a worldwide plague, Christmas can be a stressful time of year. Christmas joy can be a little hard to find. I'm reminded every year that Christmas doesn't come from a store, as I randomly click buy now over and over on Amazon. Or if I'm desperate enough to go to a mall, I'm aware that Christmas joy is not found there, as I desperately buy things that I then bring home and I can't believe I bought. I don't even know what I was thinking. I have no memory of it. It's like just I went somewhere else in my spirit and I came home with all this stuff. And never mind how desperate we've all been the past couple of years, you know, trying to shop in our masks with our glasses fogging up and trying to get our card into that little chip reader and not touch anything. Only to come home and say, I can't believe I bought that and I paid $50 for it. Christmas always feels like a little bit of desperate and shadowy times. If I'm being honest, it's always been that way, desperate and shadowy times. Even without COVID, so many of us know the Christmas that's the year of the funeral, or the year of the diagnosis, or the year of the divorce, the year of the disappointment or the broken relationship. The prophet Isaiah knows this feeling too. He was a prophet in a desperate and shadowy time in Israel's history. And their COVID that they faced was the Assyrian army that destroyed their cities and carried Israel into exile. And Isaiah is speaking God's word into that world, that exile world, a word that is aimed at King Ahaz, and Ahaz fails God's test miserably, about Assyria and a war that's raging and a war that will not end well for God's people. There will be exile for Israel, exile for Judah, life under the boot of empire, more desperate and shadowy times. Hardly the most wonderful time of the year. Yet Isaiah's words about a child whose name shall be Emmanuel, they echo down through the centuries. Isaiah's messianic prophecies about what God will do in the future, saying, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those words echo down through the centuries, and they reach the ears of the gospel writers. Matthew describes God's action in bringing out the birth of Jesus and how Mary will conceive and bear a son and how Joseph will name him Jesus, meaning God saves. And then Matthew in chapter 1 says this, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel. And then Matthew adds the translation, which means God with us. Isaiah's words echoing down and heard clearly by the gospel writers. Matthew adds the translation, Emmanuel means God with us. They would have known that in Isaiah's time too, but in Matthew's time he makes it explicit, like the saying, louder for the folks at the back. Emmanuel, God with us, the Emmanuel to end all Emmanuels is on the way, and he has come, and he's not the child of King Ahaz or any earthly king. We know the story well enough that we could almost say it ourselves. God comes to Joseph and Mary as God with us, Emmanuel. In another desperate and shadowy time. It is another time of war and occupation and rebellion. the emperor has decreed that all the world shall be registered. The imperial decree, this registration, is not a neutral thing. It is a way to get more tribute for the empire. It is a way to subjugate, to document, to record in order to control and to exploit. It's not an invitation to like a cruise or like to tour a timeshare or anything like that. It's subjugation. It's control. What the emperor says goes. And you can rebel if you want to, and many people were always trying. Scholars think that there were as many as 60 different rebellions going on in the time of Jesus, actual political, violent rebellions. But these will be quickly snuffed out. And the emperor's decree doesn't bring good tidings of great joy to anybody but the emperor and those in his circle. And I think even the emperor and his minions take antacids and Ambien in order to sleep at night. They too are under immense pressure, right? I don't know how much full-throated joy they have either. But tonight, the way God chooses to come to the world, to take on flesh and dwell among us, is not through armed rebellion. The way God comes to us, the way God, who sits high and looks low, is not content to be apart from us, but reaches down to us. The way God does that is not through the halls of power. It's another way. Now, here's something that's kind of interesting to me. God is kind of subversive in this. He uses the emperor's registration for God's purposes. Sort of like God used the cross, which was meant to be an implement of torture and execution, to be a method of our salvation. God uses Caesar's registration for God's purposes. Caesar's registration brings Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem from Nazareth so that Jesus, Emmanuel, will be born in the city of David, which fulfills a prophecy. But this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this Prince of Peace, will be born off the grid. He's born outside the emperor's jurisdiction. The stable is not a known address for registration purposes. Because there is no room in the imperial inn, Emmanuel will be born in a stable. True God from true God, born to live with the animals at first. Under the stars. Mary's cries of labor will reach God's ears, but not Caesar's. And the angels will be the herald of the true king's decree. I shared this recently in worship, but the angels' decree sounds like an imperial decree would sound. That's not an accident. The emperor's decree would go, glory to Caesar in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom he favors. And the angel's decree is, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And you sort of think it's the same, but then you realize that tonight we learn that God's favor rests on all creation. Good tidings of great joy for all the people. And God's favor rests most especially on those who would be outside the favor of Caesar. The oppressed, the poor, the over it, the exhausted, the frightened, the numb, the lonely. All those in need of God's presence and God's salvation. In other words, everybody here tonight, I think. The whole wide world, including people who mask up and come to worship or who light a candle from home as they worship with us through the miracle of technology. Now, these herald angels, these bearers of the king's joyful news, will go to the shepherds, who also rest with animals under the stars, to be the recipients first of this best news. Shepherds who also have no known address, who hold no worldly power, and whose Messiah comes as one of them, a poor child born in the cold night, who will be the good shepherd, the best shepherd, King of kings and Lord of lords. Tonight is not a story about our efforts and how hard we worked to make Christmas happen. Dang it. Tonight is a story about God's action, God's intervention, God's plan, and God's gift to us that we did not manufacture or purchase or earn or work for. It's ironic that we work so hard this time of year to do all the things and to make our real life fit into the plot of the Christmas Hallmark movie, you know? We work so hard to make all the rehearsals happen and all the baking and the presents. It's ironic because it is God who does all the real work of Christmas. And that we don't need to make everything right and clean and pressed and COVID negative for Christmas to come. Christmas comes precisely because we can't make any of this come out right on our own. Because we need a Savior. One of my Facebook friends says that one of his Christmas traditions is that at some point in the Christmas preparations, something goes wrong. And the family is on the lookout for this to happen because it happens all the time. It happens every year. And when it happens, they say, well, that's it. Christmas is ruined. You can't ruin Christmas. Christmas isn't up to you at all. Caesar tried. Look what happened to that. Christmas is God's gift to us. When our daughter, who's running the cameras, hi Lydia, when she was small, I was driving her someplace, and it was right before Christmas, so I'm sure that I was stressed out. I'm sure I was like going from point A to point B, trying to get something done. And I was muttering under my breath about how it was going to be Christmas Eve really soon, and Christmas Eve sermons have to be so good, and I hadn't even started, and I could never start, and how what I said had to be so good, it was so much pressure to impress, you know? And I said, Lydia, there are people who don't normally come to church at all, and they come to church on Christmas Eve, and like, if I do a good job, they'll come back, and they'll join our awesome church, you know? And if they don't come back, that'll somehow be my fault, so it's all on my shoulders. And Lydia said something like, oh, Mom, get over it. Christmas is not up to you. Christmas is God's thing. You cannot improve on the Christmas story from the Bible anyway. You should just read it like Linus, you know, and then sit down. And there's no better news than that. You can't make it better. You just tell it, and then you just sit down. No big deal. Christmas is about God breaking in. God loving the world so much that God didn't leave us to our own devices. God loving the world so much that God sent God's very self to turn the whole world upside down. Or maybe really to turn it right side up. This is why in the midst of shadowy, scary times, we can have joy. Because joy comes to us as a gift from outside of ourselves, receiving the best news there is. News we did not write, news we did not make happen. Joy. You know, we can pursue happiness. I looked it up. Thomas Jefferson says so. It's right there in the Constitution and everything. You can pursue happiness. But I think joy pursues us. Joy is a gift. It is the gift of God's presence and provision. The gift of knowing that no matter what happens in this world or in the world to come, and no matter what the name of your particular COVID Christmas may be, nothing can separate us from Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Messiah's coming doesn't mean we won't have desperate and shadowy times. But it means that in every desperate and shadowy time, God is with us. Emmanuel, a light that will shine in the midst of all these times, a light that no shadow can put out. So my word to you is this. To you. You with the mask. You with your 85th COVID at-home test. You with the impossible boss, the strained marriage, the new divorce. You up in the middle of the night. You with tear-stained cheeks. You with tired spirit. To you the angel's proclamation comes. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen.